Peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen. Our text today is from Mark chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus said, "Only in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor." Who's your favorite comedian? I always liked Rodney Dangerfield when he was alive. He was that comedian who made a living by saying, "I don't get no respect." You remember him? He'd say something like, "My house is so small that cars drive up and leave mail in the slot," thinking it's a mailbox or something like that. He was always a favorite, I think, because he was so natural at making fun of himself that we could all identify with him. But it is true that lack of respect is a problem today, especially for leaders in society, among the elderly, our elected officials, in churches, even in families, the fathers and mothers, that respect is not being shown, and that seems to undermine our ability to function as a society. The problem is that we see a weakness in someone else, and we immediately start to talk about that weakness rather than the strong points of that person. We point it out and perhaps try to discredit that person. But you know that many leaders that we have had over the history of the world have had weaknesses and yet did a superb job by God's design leading us. Just to name a few, think of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, leader of our country during World War II, and yet he had polio and was confined to a wheelchair. Thomas Edison, who grew up in the same town I was born in, Port Huron, Michigan. He invented the light bulb, perfected it, and a motion picture. Did you know he could hardly hear? The story was that he was late for his train when he was a young boy selling newspapers, and the conductor or ticket taker saw him running up the train, grabbed him by the ears, and hurt his hearing for the rest of his life. And, of course, Beethoven wrote such wonderful symphonies. Some of those, his later ones, word is that he wrote them while he was deaf and could never hear them himself. Yet we honor these and so many others as great men, even in their weaknesses, and we think about their accomplishments, not their inabilities. The Bible is no different. God's spokespeople in the Bible were seldom respected by their hearers. Think of Moses. Person that God spoke to directly. He came down from the mountain after meeting with God and receiving the Lord's commandments, and he even glowed. His face had an unnatural glow, and yet he was ridiculed by such people as Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who led a revolt against him. Even his own sister Miriam and his brother Aaron spoke against him at times. And it was no different for other prophets in the Bible. In our reading for today, in the Old Testament, we hear of Ezekiel, and God says, "I'm sending you, Ezekiel, to a rebellious and stubborn people," as if to say, "I'm sending you, but they're so stiff-necked, they're not going to listen to you." Jeremiah faced opposition. In fact, people of his own hometown of Anathoth, his own family, spoke to him and said that they would not follow him, they would not listen to him, even though the Lord spoke through him. And they said, "Don't even speak for the Lord anymore among us. If you do, your blood will be on our hands. We'll kill you." One time they tried to throw him down a well to get rid of him, and the Lord saved him. And similar things happened to the rest of the prophets, including right up to and including John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who prepared the way for him to come. And then finally, we have Jesus as the greatest of all the suffering servants. As we look at him, we see a poor man there in his hometown of Nazareth in our reading for today. Even there, they show him no respect. And we even hear some of the conversation that goes on as Jesus tries to teach and preach there in his hometown. "Isn't this the carpenter? Don't we know his mother, Mary? And aren't his brothers and sisters around us today?" As if to say, "Who does he think he is? this man that we grew up here, preaching for God, doing miracles. It just can't be. Kind of reminds me of my first sermon I ever preached back home in my hometown. You know, I kind of felt out of place there, because when I was young, I was the kid who was so hyperactive that no Sunday school teacher wanted to take my class. You know, they'd think, oh, Sunday school teaching is so fun, and then Jimmy Wright would get into that class, and then they couldn't find anybody that fall, you know. Well, it's people like that, people like me, that God raises up to preach and teach. You know, in my high school reunion last summer, a guy came up to me and said, Jim, I always thought you were real smart. And I kind of thought, well, I suppose compared to you, I might be Einstein. But he said, I didn't say that to him, but I thought it. He said, you're so smart. Why did you want to go and become a preacher? Talk about no respect for the prophet. And so all I could think to say was, well, somebody's got to do it, and God chose me. But you know where the work of prophecy led Jesus. He showed his human weakness when they put him on a cross, didn't he? He stretched out there, was stretched out bleeding and dying. But he did it for them, those who crucified him. And his last words showed this when he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. But it was true. For by crucifying the Lamb of God, they unwillingly or unknowingly offered up the sacrifice that brought forgiveness for the entire world. The atonement was complete. The sins of the world were forgiven there when Jesus died. If only everyone would believe and receive the benefit that he brought. The prophets suffer no respect. The Christ suffers no respect. And at times, we who bear the name of Jesus will suffer no respect. They see our weaknesses, and they assume that's all there is to us. We grow sick. We grow old and weak and infirm. In our lives, we struggle with temptation. Yes, we are caught in sin. Where is your faith now, they say to themselves. Why are you suffering? Where is your God? Why is there suffering in the world at all if your God really exists? He must be cruel, they say. But our God needs no defending. He will settle his own accounts. But right now, he says, like he said to Paul, who had this thorn jabbing into his body, even though he was a prophet of God, my grace is all you need. You do not need vindication with the world. You do not need physical strength. You do not need defending, because my power is going to be made perfect in your weakness. It's as if to say, as you suffer and yet proclaim and live the Christian life, you will show how I can overcome your weaknesses and I can bless you. Jesus did no miracles that day in his own hometown. What good would it do anyway? Those people were not going to believe. They couldn't get over the ordinary fact of his coming into the world just like they did. I suppose they thought if God came down here, it would be special. It would be different. Not a person who's a carpenter, not a son of Mary. We all know their history. They would never believe his true identity. He was amazed that day that they had no faith. Can you imagine surprising Jesus as God of the universe, knowing all things, and yet it says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. Let's not surprise the Lord like that with our lives. As prophets of God, that is, as people who know his will and speak it to others, we have the honor of receiving no honor. We are fools for Christ. We believe in someone that we have never seen, who we've never heard his voice directly or seen his face, who speaks through an ancient book. But yet he still comes to us in a hidden way, and he washes our souls, and he leads us, and he visits us through bread and wine. What's there to respect in that, says the world? And so the world can ridicule our faith, our way of life, our sacrifices, but the world cannot take away our faith. The Lord has said, no one can snatch them away from the hand of my Father. It's true, we know that Jesus' respect came later, didn't it? Much later. When after his death and resurrection, people began to learn what he had done. After he went to heaven and ascended there, and then over the centuries, century after century, and even today, the Holy Spirit of God moved people to believe in what he had accomplished. Now, the last day of planet Earth is coming, and when that day comes, that will be the time of honor and respect for the Son of God. For we know on that day when he returns, it won't be a big secret. It won't be hidden like it was when he came the first time. The people of Nazareth and in every town, big and small, will see. They will look up and see him as he returns, just as he said. And they will offer their respect then. But it'll be far too late. But we, the people of God, can rejoice today that God has brought us to see Jesus for who he really is. The Lord, our Lord, who forgives all our sins, who covers us, and who blesses and keeps us. God, the good and gracious Savior to the poor and the humble and to the weak. And he makes us strong. This is the honor that God gives to all his prophets. No honor in the world, but honor with the Heavenly Father. For he has made us clean. He has made us presentable. May you receive the honor that is due to Christ as co-victors of all eternity. In his name and with his blessing, amen. And God's peace be with you.